Canada. My wife was pregnant with a third one when we were getting ready to move back to Poland. So after living in both US and Canada for about 7 years, we decided to eventually move back to be involved primarily in church planting. And this is what we've been doing ever since. That was 96 when we moved back. We settled in the city of Wrocław, which is a fairly big city southwest part of Poland, about 2 hours from Germany and about an hour from the Czech Republic. And I'm happy to share with you that after all these years, and we've had times where we were really discouraged and tired, but there's a bunch of people that prayed for us and helped us and encouraged us. And after all these 19 years, we are finally at this stage where we are part of a good, thriving young church in our city. There is about 60, 70 people. We started basically with ground zero. And the first 2-3 years were extremely difficult. But right now, we're happy to have good mixture of men and women, younger people, older folks. 70% of our people are young couples, young families, different ministries happening. And we are at this stage now as a church where we can finally draw on the resources of the existing church and do some other things outside of this local church in our city. So just last year, we have commended our first missionary family who's doing a new church plant in eastern part of Poland, close to the border with the Ukraine. There is a young couple who's working on revitalizing a small struggling church in the south. There's a brother and a sister who work, whom we sort of support and pray for them, and they work up in north in Szczecinek, which is a small town in the northwest part of Poland, and they work with a group of 100 kids from the nearby towns and villages and all sorts of activities with those kids. But you know, the goal is basically for those kids to hear the good news of salvation. This morning I gave you a little sample of what we sometimes do in our church. Not every Sunday, but every once in a while, I've got all these crazy ideas. And I know some people, those who are introverted, they hate me for that, because when we get together for the Sunday morning and all of a sudden I say, okay, I'd like to ask you men to greet all the women today. You know, they just, you know, some of them are not too happy. Then a couple Sundays later I say, hey folks, so this is the Sunday where all the teenagers, I encourage you to greet all the people. And I know that some people feel kind of uneasy about it, but this is just a good way of building relationships, of getting to know each other, of reaching out to other people, of introducing yourself, you know, letting know that, you know, hey, I'm part of this fellowship and I want you to know that you're important to me. I want to make an effort to get to know you. Polish people, we live in a global village, which means that if you were to visit Poland, you would discover that we have the same shopping malls, the same stores. The airport in our city looks pretty much like the airport in Edmonton or any other city. People dressed pretty much like you guys. You know, well, there are some varieties, but they talk about the young people. They listen to the same music as the young people in Canada. They watch the same movies, they play the same computer games. So Poland has become part of the global village. And when I say this, I mean by this also that the Polish people have the same kind of struggles that people have in Canada. In other words, even though I don't know many of you, I could say that, well, in Poland, you know, right now, as I'm thinking of our people, you know, some of them struggle because there's a sickness in the family. Some of them struggle because they've just lost a job and they can't find it, and they've been looking for a job for 2 years and they're highly qualified, they can't find anything. Some of them struggle because there is broken relationships, and I'm thinking of the young couple in our church, or young family now, who don't have good relationship with their father and mother, and they would like to have good relationship, but it's not there. And the list goes on and on and on, and they experience hardships of life pretty much the same as you guys do. And I'm pretty positive that if we were to just rearrange these pews here and would sit in a circle and would start sharing what's happening in our lives, you would probably tell me some of the stories that are very similar to the stories that we get to hear from our people in Poland. As the author of Proverbs said, there is nothing new under the sun. And the truth is that since the sin entered this world, we all struggle to a great or lesser extent. And as you as you open the Word of God and read what was happening there back in the times of the Israel, for example, you discover that they had the same kinds of struggle that we have today. Let me just read you a couple of verses from Exodus 12. Exodus 12, verses 40 to 42. This is the chapter that talks about Israelites being freed from slavery. And in the conclusion, we read this. Now, the length of the time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. Now, many of you know this story, right? Initially, Abraham prayed for a descendant. There was no promised child, even though God said, I will give you a child. So him and Sarah prayed and waited and waited and waited, and eventually they were able to see the child. Not only one child, but there were more children. Then there were grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and eventually what we see in the Bible is a great nation of Israel, coming on the stage. And the time comes after these 400 years the time comes when nobody in Egypt remembers who Joseph is, and they are enslaved for 400 years. Folks, it is so easy for us to read the Bible retrospectively. In other words, we know all about it. We know this whole story. Yes, we know 400 years. Eventually, they were freed from Egypt and they walked into the promised land. But I want you this morning to use your imagination. And if you can think in terms of a young Israelite family living back in those days in the year 398 or 399. It may have been a Sunday like this, Sunday late at night, when a young Israelite man came home from work. He worked in a brick factory. He didn't have a day off like most of us do on Sundays or Saturdays. He worked 7 days a week, long hours. It was a day when his hands formed another stack of bricks. You can almost visualize this young man. He is he's a hard-working man. He doesn't mind hard work. If he was to live in different circumstances, if he was to live in modern Canada, he could have been a doctor or a lawyer. But he lived back then. He lived under different circumstances. And in his particular context, he's forced to make bricks every single day, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, day after day, month after month, year after year. He's used to it. He doesn't mind hard work. But the thing is that he doesn't get much for his hard work. What he gets is poor working conditions, ridiculous and mistreatment at work by his young Egyptian supervisor, some basic food on the table. That day, that young man came home, and as was his custom, he kissed his wife, who was concerned that he was working so hard. And then, as was his custom, he walked into his daughter's bedroom, sat by the bed of his daughter, stretched his tired arm to reach her hand, the skin on his palm being so thick that he could barely feel the smoothness of the child's tiny palm. His daughter may have looked at him that night and asked him this question, Daddy? Yes, honey. Daddy, is God good? And a man may have said, yes, God is good all the time. Just think about it for a moment. How much would it take for this man, who lived all of his life, he remembered all these stories that were passed from one generation to another, 400 years, roughly 10 generations. And this young man, if he was bold enough to hold on to the word of God, that was the only reason why he could have said to his little daughter, yes, God is good all the time. Even though the word of God was the only thing he could hold on to. What gave him the assurance of God's goodness? There are a couple of verses. And the question is, how big is our God? How big was his God? Genesis 46 verse 3, we read this. These are the words God said earlier to Jacob. I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you. And now listen to this. And I will surely bring you back again. And then these words to Joseph, that Joseph said to his brothers, Genesis 50 verse 24. Joseph said this, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Folks, back to this young Israelite father and husband. This is the only thing he could hold on to. And he remembered his father and grandfather saying, and the father of his grandfather was saying the same thing, God will intervene one day. One day we will be freed. If you ever visit Europe, and you may have done it already, one of the things that you will notice on European landmarks is those huge cathedrals, big churches. Sometimes people don't realize that it took many, many years to build those. There's a cathedral called York Minster. It took 242 years to build it. That means, folks, that sometimes three or four generations of men worked hard on the same construction site. And the only thing these men were able to see was just a small portion of it. Just imagine a young man working 30 years, hard work, 10, 12 hours a day, seeing just a piece of the floor. That's all he could see. Coming back to work day after day and month after month with no modern equipment as we have today and seeing just a piece of floor and a small portion of wall. Today, we get to see the big picture, but they didn't get that privilege. They had to, in a sense, they had to live by faith. So folks, I'd like to encourage you, and this is something I do in Poland. When I encourage our young believers, and you know, we've got quite a good number of those, we're a young church, and they do struggle. They do struggle with their families, the situation with their parents, and the work, and the health issues, and working long hours, not being paid enough for their hard work, and all these issues, and you know, I encourage them to hold on to God's promises. So it's, if I can encourage you today, I'd like to encourage you to look in two directions. In other words, look backwards, look back to the promises God has made to Abraham and his people all throughout the history, and to us as well. Look back to the day of your salvation, the day of your deliverance, because that day arrived finally. We read about it in the Old Testament. And the Exodus is really basically prefigures the great Exodus that the Lord provided, the great escape, foreshadows the Christ sacrifice for us and the ultimate deliverance that Christ worked on the cross. And the truth is that, you know, this Old Testament event, you know, tells us a little bit, just gives us a glimpse of what it was to be like when Christ came, who sacrificed his life for us and delivered us from the bondage of sin. And we have this assurance today that even though we are delivered from the bondage of sin today, one day we will be delivered from the presence of evil. That means that one day, folks, there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more struggle, no more disappointment, no more suffering. Doesn't matter where you live, Poland, Canada, Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Iran, you know, you name it, any country. People go through the same kind of stuff everywhere. And what we can give them is the word of God that they can hold on to. We can encourage them. We can encourage each other to look back to that important event, which is Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. But there is also another aspect to it. And notice that in these couple of verses that I've read, you know, it says that they were enslaved in Egypt for 440 years. Then to the very day the Lord gave them freedom. And they were to keep the vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. So it's good to look back, but it's also good to look forward to the future that the Lord has us. The promise that the Lord has given us, that we will be with him one day. That we will be spending eternity with him. I have a friend who's been pastoring a church on Vancouver Island. His name's Lek. A guy who was born in Poland. He grew up in Poland, just like my wife and I. And he was 16 when his family was very much involved in the solidarity movement during the communist years. So they immigrated to Canada. So he's been living most of his life in Canada now. A very good man. The church that he's part of is pretty much the size of this church. The oldest member of that church, it's a Baptist church, the oldest member of that church is Rose. Rose turned 96 last year. She's been coming to church every Sunday. And every Sunday she sits where maybe you sit today. Now you need to know that Rose, for being 96, life has become quite difficult for her. She needs 4 hours every morning to get out of bed, get dressed, have breakfast, and just, you know, be on her feet. So if the service is at 10 o'clock, that means that she has to get up at 6 every Sunday to be able to make it to church. And someone drives her. One Sunday, my friend approached Rose after the church service, and she said, "Rose, so what was the message all about today?" And she said, "I don't know. I didn't understand that word that you were saying there." Well, Lek is an educated guy, you know, but he tries to keep it simple. But Rose said, I didn't understand. He said, then he asked her, "Rose, what were we singing about today?" She said, "I don't know. I don't see those little letters on the screen. They're too small for me." Lek said, "Well, Rose, if you didn't understand what we've talked about today, and if you didn't sing with us, then why do you come here every Sunday?" You know what she said? "I come here every Sunday because there may be someone in this place whom I can encourage." Now, you need to know that Rose lived through 2 world wars. She's lost a husband. She's lost 2 of her kids. She suffered enormously in her life. Grew up outside of Canada, immigrated to Canada from UK. She's had a hard life, really. Folks, when I hear that, I have no other explanation for these words other than this is the woman who remembers what the Lord has done for her in the past and looks forward to the glorious future. And this is something that is transcultural. In other words, doesn't matter where you live, Poland, Canada, UK, you name it. This is our calling. This is something that my wife and I have been trying to share with the people of Poland who need the Lord as much as anybody else. We are very privileged to be part of the Lord's work in Poland. And friends, at the end, I would like to thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for your faithful partnership with us for all these years. Like I said at the beginning, some of you don't really know us. We know the Parkers the longest. These are the people whom we visited, and Frank reminded me last night. It was 2002. But prior to that, you know, we actually moved to Poland in 96. And we've gone through different situations as a church and struggles. And if you were to ask me how many times I was discouraged and wanted to move back to Canada, if I were to tell you how many times we felt like that, you would be really discouraged. Many times we wanted to turn the lights off, close the door, and just move back to Canada. Because in a sense, life is easier. I'm not afraid to use that word. Yes, you know, we do have our struggles, but life is easier. But the Lord has purpose for his people. The Lord has purpose for you and I. And thank you so much for playing such a vital role in our lives and ministry, for praying for us, for supporting us, for communicating with us, and for being open to have us every time we come, which is roughly once every 3-4 years. So who knows? Lord willing, unless he returns tomorrow, we may be back 2 or 3 years from now, and we'll probably tell you the same story about this church in Poland, and maybe more people by then, and new ministries happening, and but the same struggles and the same joys, but the same Lord who is good all the time. Amen.